going to go straight to my next guest, fellow Blog Talk Radio host, Cloris Kylie, and we're going to talk about getting it together. So welcome to Get It Together, Girl, Cloris.
Hello, Karen. Thank you.
Thank you. I mean, when I saw your show and I listened to it, I thought we have so much that we can talk about. Our careers, our interests kind of overlap in so many ways. And while there's a lot to talk about, and I took a look at your media kit, and I'm like, oh, we could talk about that. Oh, we could talk about that. The one thing that really stuck out to me was the part on your site where you talk about reprogramming your conscious mind. That's actually something I'm personally working on right now. On the way back home, I had a networking meeting this morning, so right before my show, I'm driving back, and on the freeway, I'm repeating my affirmations and working on that. And a lot of people don't think you can reprogram your subconscious, but you would disagree, wouldn't you?
Yes, yeah, definitely. You can. Now, for those listeners who are not familiar with what the subconscious mind is, I'd just like to explain, Karen, what it is. And basically, you have your conscious mind, which is the mind that is conscious of this call, what you're listening to, what your senses perceive. And then you have your subconscious mind, which is, look at it as a software that loads information onto your conscious mind. And it's made up of all of those experiences that you've had since you were born. And even before, there are studies that show that even before you're born, you start gathering information from your environment. So it could come from things that people have told you that are supposed to be true, or from the media, or from anything. And sometimes these bits of information get into our minds without us even realizing it. Because I recently read about a study that was done by the MIT in which they measured the time that it took for the brain to process something, like any sort of stimulus, right? And it was only 13 milliseconds. Okay, so imagine that, 13 milliseconds. So you could be just be looking at something, and then you that information goes into your mind. You gather it as part of, now it was like in the background of what you think, the way you behave. So you don't know it. So we have all of these programs, and some of those programs are quite limiting. Those programs don't allow us to create the life that we desire. So that's why it's important to change those limiting thoughts, and that's what reprogramming your subconscious mind means.
Okay, so that you're thinking, I know that I've done some reprogramming on specifically on financial ideas, and reprogramming my mind to kind of get rid of all those limiting thoughts that I've had about money. And the reason why I think money is interesting, both money and food, is that they're not just things you think about. They're things that you associate a lot of feeling with.
Right.
And so I know that your feelings, talk a little bit about how your feelings and your emotions play a role in reprogramming your subconscious.
Well, I mean, this is what happens. I tell my clients, my readers, that if they want to change a limiting belief, there are two ways to do it. And ideally, you combine both ways, right? So the first way is by selecting different thoughts. And the second way is by experiencing things that prove to yourself that your old belief is really not true. See, so ideally you do both, because what happens with the subconscious mind is when you just think something, the mind doesn't believe it. Like, let's say that you force yourself, like this morning you wake up and you say, I am wealthy. I have a lot of money coming up, you know, whatever, something that you say just because you think is going to help you, some sort of affirmation. But deep inside, you don't believe that's true or that it cannot happen. So it's just like saying something without meaning. You're just going to laugh at yourself and say, yeah, I'm never have enough money and so forth. That's what's running in the back of your mind. So it's not as simple as saying a thought that you know is not true, but it's a matter of saying a thought that makes you feel good. And you can monitor your thoughts based on how you feel, but also, let's say that you have a thought that is a little bit better about your financial situation. Let's say that your thought is not, I am wealthy, which is, you know, is, I don't know, in your case, maybe you have millions, but but let's say.
That's funny. Now that's okay, anyway.
So let's say that it's not true, right? So you say, I'm wealthy, I have millions, it's not true. But what if you say, I am taking action today that is leading me to wealth, right? And that seems to be true to yourself. Now, once you think this, you feel good. And then what I encourage people to do is to actually give this thought a lot of momentum. Like you give it a lot of detail. So what is it that you're going to do today that is going to provide that wealth that you desire? So then you start thinking about it and you actually start picturing, right? Picturing that wealth coming up, maybe that check that you're expecting, or you picture yourself being free to do whatever you want to do with your money, to not wonder whether you're going to have enough or whether you can do something that you love just because you have to spend money on something else. Or just picture how free you're going to feel, and that's where the role of feelings comes in, because once you feel that in your body, you feel how good it is to have more money, then the subconscious believes that, yes, what you're going to do today will give you more money. And that's how the subconscious changes. Once the subconscious changes, then you'll see opportunities to actually have more money or whatever it is that you want to change in your life. But again, you have to do the work to replace those negative thoughts that don't allow you to get there.
And I've heard, and I know I've experienced this myself, that when you match the feeling with the thought, that's when things really happen. Like if I'm upset, whatever thoughts I'm thinking while I'm upset will anchor more quickly in my subconscious.
Also, yeah, that's true. If you start associating something with difficulty or with not feeling anxious, then of course you will continue that association. And naturally, you want to stay away from something that doesn't make you feel good. So you'll stay away from things that could eventually lead you to wealth or whatever it is that you desire. So it is important that you monitor your feelings. If you have a thought that makes you feel unease or stressed out, then it is your work, though, to replace that thought with something that makes you feel better. And at the beginning, though, especially if, let's say that you're going through a really tough financial time, you might not have anything like related to finances that make you feel better. So then maybe you can find something else that makes you feel good. So at least you are in that a positive energy level, like your thoughts are aligned with the positivity, so you can see opportunities. So maybe you are grateful for your health, or it's a matter of appreciating what you have in your life. Maybe appreciating the fact that you can listen to the show, that you have the time to do that, appreciating the weather. Anything that makes you feel better will help you get to that point at which you're ready, again, to see opportunities.
So talk a little about, I mean, we've talked about a little bit about affirmations and how you have to kind of create your affirmations so that your mind will accept them. If you, the easiest one, I guess, is money. If you are flat broke, you saying I am wealthy is not going to work. You know, so maybe creating a better affirmation. But, you know, there's an important part that talks about the role of I am. Not just in affirmations, but in how you speak in general. Because I know I'm a Christian, so when Moses asked God what his name was, he said, I am that I am. And so on a certain level, I am is the name of, you're invoking the name of God. So when I say things like, I am broke, I am unattractive, I am sick, I'm almost putting more of that into my life. And so
yes.
It's important, I think, to watch your I am.
That is true, Karen, and that's the whole premise of Wishes Fulfilled, which is written by Dr. Wayne Dyer. He talks about the power of the I am affirmations, and I do agree with what he says. I also would add that every time you say I am, not only are you connecting to the spiritual part of you, the God part of you, but also you are creating a self-identification. So if you say to yourself, oh, I am lazy, or I am poor, or something that really is not serving you, then your subconscious mind is listening to that and saying, identifying itself with that label. And that label is limiting, most probably, because all labels are. So if you feel like, you know, I'm not good at math, then it'll be really difficult for you to get a good grade in math, or I am not a good at networking. So then when you go to the next networking session, you will be too shy to talk to people, again, because that's part of what you identify yourself with. So I would say it's a powerful thing to remember, both from a spiritual side of it. So yes, you are connecting with your spiritual self. And also second, from that self-identification that is part of your subconscious mind.
Exactly. And one thing that I find that helps me with my I am, and even helps me with my affirmations, is the power of your imagination. And by that, I mean the power to visualize. I have a networking event this afternoon, so when I get ready to go, I'm going to envision myself meeting the right people, meeting the people that I need to be in touch with. And, you know, a lot of people claim they can't visualize, but the truth of the matter is we do it all the time.
Yes, we do. I mean, anything that you cannot imagine will not come true. It will just not happen. If you cannot visualize it, then how can you make it happen? And it's just a matter of just taking some time in silence. So sometimes we're just so inundated with noise and with visual images. We're looking at a screen all day that we don't really have the time to sit down and just be in silence and be disconnected from everything and just connect with our imagination, our emotions. I think it really helps. And the whole thing about the subconscious mind, if you imagine something really vividly, right, and it becomes almost a real experience, if you feel what it feels like to have that happen, then, again, you feel that it's possible for you. So you'll be able to be successful when the opportunity actually comes.
Yeah, and my thing for people who say, but I can't visualize, I'm not good at visualization, if you really think about it, you visualize all the time. But for some reason, we don't get credit when we visualize negatively. If you get a bad report at work, it's pretty easy to visualize yourself losing your job or not doing what you're supposed to do. So if your kids are out, it's easy to visualize them doing something they're not supposed to be doing. But in either situation, you are visualizing. So use your, you know, like a superhero, use your powers for good and start visualizing the positive instead of the negative, I would say.
I love that, Karen. It's true. It's be your own superhero and create the life that you desire. So when you feel those, you know, negative images coming to you, it's your decision to switch them to something better. So, yes, yeah, I definitely agree.
Now, one of the things you said that I absolutely loved is that we are capable of creating our own coincidences.
Yes, and coincidences seem to be random occurrences, But they don't have to be if you decide to make them something good for you, something lucky. I give you an example, something that actually happened to me a few days ago. I had a book signing, and I was really excited about it. I was like, oh, this is great. It's a beautiful location close to the coast here in Connecticut. It was actually, I don't know if you're familiar with Mystic Pizza, which is, you know, that movie, all right? So it's Mystic, Connecticut. So the bookstore was right across Mystic Pizza, and I imagine myself just go and have some pizza and then go to the book signing, and I was just really excited. So then that morning, I talked to the people at the bookstore, and they told me that they hadn't received the books that they had ordered for the signing. Somehow something happened with the shipment, and they had to cancel it. So I had two choices at that point. I could have been really upset and mope around all day and just kind of sit at home and feel sorry for myself, or I could do something productive with my time. So I said, well, you know, let's see what's going on today. And there was this women's conference pretty close to where I live, and it was, seemed to be a pretty interesting event, so I went. And one of the first booths that I visited was actually a new organization for women. It's called Women's Independence Network. And what they're trying to do is just help women who are going through a transition, a life transition, take charge of their lives and financially and spiritually. And I thought it was great synergy with what I do. So I met the person who leads this program. She gave me her card. We had a coffee a couple of days ago, and now we have all of these great projects that we can do together. So this great opportunity, the great chance to meet someone that I would have never met had the signing happened. So see how it goes? So instead of looking at the negative part of a situation, you look at the positive and you actually take advantage of those opportunities.
You know, and it's fun. The thing that I took away from that story is that you created this coincidence by taking action. You didn't get upset about the book signing and let that consume you. You said, okay, this isn't happening, so let me find something else. And I think a lot of times we get so consumed with the negative or frustrated that it prevents us from moving forward.
Yes, I agree, Karen. I think it's important that we take action no matter what. I mean, if we feel stuck, if we're really in a negative state, like we really feel poorly about our whole life situation and we feel like we need a break, it's okay. You don't have to, like, be doing all the time. And the whole thing that I mentioned about silence and just being quiet is important. But you also have to get out of that and just do whatever you can do to make things better. Plus, you'll feel better, though. If you feel like you're doing something to improve your life, don't you feel, like, proud of yourself? Don't you feel like there's hope? That's what you want.
Exactly. And you only feel that. And I think you're right. We all feel bad. And during those times, I encourage when I'm coaching people to feel that pain, because if you try to ignore it, it's going to come back in some way. So feel your emotion, but then move on. So, Cloris, I know I apologize for running out of time. Our first interview went long, but where can people find more about you, and where can they hear your radio show?
Thank you, Karen. Yeah, I invite everybody to go to CloriskYLie.com. That's CloriskYLie.com. And you'll get all the information you need about my blogs, my articles, my radio show, which is actually on Blog Talk Radio /Magnificent, and some great free resources that I have for people right now, including a series on how to be successful and fulfilled. So I invite you to go and send me your comments, ask any questions. I love to hear from people.
Okay, Cloris. Well, thank you so much. This was a great discussion. You have so much to talk about. I can't wait to have you on again because we
thank
can
you
talk
so
all
much,
day.
Karen. Yes, thank
okay.
you very much.
Thank you. Okay, so